It's a Terling Tourism Tuesday, presented by AO Tourism on News Talk WANI.
Auburn Opelika this morning, your News Talk and Information Station. Anthony Terling joins me. Been a couple of weeks, hasn't it? Since I've seen you?
Well, it's been all over the place. We've done phone. I was in that other city that other college.
Oh, across the state?
Yeah, across state, yeah. With the governor's commission or governor's conference on tourism.
Yeah.
It's just been kind of all over the place. But
I love it.
Trying to get back in a routine.
Well, and you've brought guests with you, or a guest.
A wonderful guest.
Yes, exactly.
Super
so I'll
exciting.
Let you do introductions of Rob and what all he's has. Do you want to run down all the accomplishments? Because it's a long list.
No, you've got it in front of you. I'm super excited. It's Rob Taylor with Auburn Adaptive Athletics through Auburn University. Rob and I met, 3 years ago, roughly, and mm-hmm. we just sat down, talked about what he does, his background, his history. I know you'll list some of those things out. But as we are all watching the Olympics right now, let's not forget what's coming next is the Paralympics.
Yes.
And so I know you've had on this program Rita Clanton mm-hmm. and Ford Dyke with USA Wheelchair Handball, which actually just had their second training session / tryout this past weekend at Beard Eves Memorial mm-hmm. Coliseum. And so Rob and I have been discussing and talking about how we can, A, get the word out to this community about Auburn Adaptive Athletics and what all it does and all the things it's going to do, but also talk about Rob's journey coming up to go to Paris for the Paralympics. And so I want to introduce Rob Taylor. How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
I got to
ask you, because I asked Ford the same thing, like what got you into this? Because adaptive athletics, that's not something like most people when they're growing up in high school and junior high and that kind of stuff, and then they go to college and they're involved in athletics, unless they've got a loved one or a friend that's involved in adaptive athletics, then probably kind of comes secondhand until it finally hits them in the face. So how did you get into this?
Yeah, spot on. My uncle. My uncle's got polio. He's he played wheelchair basketball his entire life until he retired from it. So I got exposed to it at a really young age. Grew up outside of Chicago. He played for the Chicago Wheelchair Bulls. So I would go to his practices and jump on a chair and tool around in the chair, shag rebounds, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. So yeah, for me, it's a family thing. So I got involved at a real early age because of my uncle.
No, see? And then, it must have stuck with you because now look at what you're doing.
It did. I mean, it was one of those things when I went to college, the last thing I wanted to do was study. I wanted to be around sports and be around athletes. And where I got my undergrad, they had a wheelchair basketball team, both a men and a women's team. So I introduced myself and they knew who I was because my uncle had gone to college there. So they brought me on board kind of as a water boy and towel boy and slowly worked my way up to be the assistant coach of both the men and women's team there. And then just very blessed to be introduced to the head coach of the U.S. team while I was in my undergrad and got on board with the U.S. women's team back in 2002. I started volunteering with them and then officially was named assistant coach with the women in 2005.
And you have some hardware.
I've got a pretty nice trophy case at home. So I've been a part of this will be my 16th year as an official staff member on the U.S. team. I was with the women officially from 2005 to 2008, then as assistant coach with the U.S. men from 2013 until the Tokyo Games, and then after Tokyo, moved over to the big seat and became head coach of the U.S. team. And in that time, I've been to the Paralympics with the women in 2008 in Beijing, and we were fortunate to win a gold medal there. In 2016, went to Rio with the men's team, won a gold medal there, and then we followed up with a gold medal at the delayed games of 2021 in Tokyo. So have had great success at the Paralympics. And one thing is, this, like I said, this will be my 16th game, so I've been to 15 major tournaments. Have been fortunate to play in a gold medal game every single tournament I've been to. Mm. So I've got 12 gold medals and 3 silver medals that don't see the light of day sitting back at home.
I was going to say, where do you keep them? Safe? They hidden?
The silver ones are just tucked away. I've got some of the gold medals hanging in my office on campus to show to recruits that come
exactly.
and show them what they could win in the future.
I was going to say, coaches don't hide now. national championship rings and gold medals. You got to keep those out.
That's right.
I learned that years ago with David Marsh with swimming. There are a lot of gold medals that were hanging in his office from various players that had been through the program. So as far as this adaptive athletic, this is something where knowing Anthony and knowing Rita, because I've dealt with her before, and they just talked handball not too long ago, but I don't think people realize how involved adaptive athletics is. I mean, I know you talking about wheelchair basketball, but I mean, you were talking about power soccer. Yeah. That's the thing we just talked about, as I said, with tennis. Ford and Rita with handball and now tennis. And Ford talked to me about that. So, I mean, this is becoming a growing thing in this area, in this community, which is, I guess, a great thing, just because it is. We said to introduce you, if you didn't have a family member or a close friend that was affected by it, you probably didn't even notice it before.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity is growing here at Auburn. You know, our adaptive sports program started in 2009 when we had one student athlete on campus and he wanted to play tennis. Former basketball player, but it's hard to have a basketball team with just one dude. So with one guy, you can have a wheelchair tennis team. Right. So we started wheelchair tennis on campus in 2009, and then we kind of grew into basketball from there. And at that point, the basketball guys didn't want anything to do with tennis. So tennis kind of faded away. But we brought tennis back about 3 or 4 years ago, and then just this past year we added power wheelchair soccer to our portfolio. My assistant coach on the basketball team is on the U.S. power soccer team, and he's been hounding me since we recruited him for basketball to start power soccer. So we started that this past year and went to our first national tournament, and yeah, we're seeing that adapted sports is growing on campus. We've got great support from the university. We've got some great partners across the board in the athletic department and then different campuses or different parts of campus. And then working with Anthony has really helped us out as well. And he's really helped Rita and Ford with the newly started U.S. Wheelchair team handball that's going to be heading to Egypt here in about a month and a half.
Yeah, they're pretty excited about it. And of course, you said you're going to be leaving here soon too as well.
Yeah, I leave a week from Saturday to head over to Paris. With the U.S. team, we'll have our send-off camp over in Paris, and then we'll move into the village as soon as we can. So I think September 21st or 22nd, we move into the village, and then we really start honing our skills to get ready for our first game on September 29th against Spain.
You got a prediction of what we're expecting to see?
I would say we're the favorites, win gold. If we're able to do that, we'll be the first men's wheelchair basketball team to win 3 consecutive gold medals. But we won gold at World Championships last year, so it's we're looking good to bring home the three-peat.
I like it. Yeah.
Rob, mention the website for the Adaptive Athletics Program, because I know just for people out there listening and all that, just trying to give as much information about the program itself, you know, whether they, want to support it, you know, from a community standpoint. They may know somebody that may be interested. Obviously, they may have a child that is future student or opportunity. So mention that, kind of how they get involved, you know, find more information, whether it's the website or get in contact.
Yeah, so our website is auburnadapted.com. I can tell you it may not be as up to date as
it's
most
a good website.
Like.
I've looked at it though. It's got a lot of good information.
Yeah, we do try to keep our social media pretty updated. The Facebook, the Twitter /X, the Instagram, all that stuff is updated. And then we've got a different one for each one of our teams. So Auburn WCBB is our wheelchair basketball account across all the handles. And then I believe it's Auburn WC Tennis for tennis. And my power soccer coach is going to kill me, but I don't remember what our power soccer handle is.
The good news is you can go to auburnadapted.com and it's like a drop down, so you can go to the teams.
It's all in there for sure. And our website does a great job of, you can see our roster from our student athletes, from our staff members that we've got. And then there's definitely a button where you can donate and support the team.
I was just about to bring that up because from one person of loving philanthropy and giving and also being involved with nonprofits and all that, I was about to say, I'm about to put you on the spot, but he already took it, is you know, these kind of programs and just any of these, you know, from whether it be travel or the equipment. Tell me on average how much one of those power wheelchairs cost.
The power
chairs. I talked to your trainer, and me and him were having a great conversation at the first tryout for wheelchair handball. But how much are those?
The power chairs for soccer are $10,000 a chair.
So between the equipment, between the chairs. I mean, these chairs get damaged, not just the power, just, you know, the standard wheelchairs. These are specialized pieces of equipment.
Yeah, they look different. I mean, watching video and that kind of thing, it's not
the wheels are angled, you know, yeah, those things. And I'm not speaking technically, but at the end of the day, these programs need dollars. They need your support. And obviously Rita and Ford, you know, have spoken, and, you know, about whether it be on, you know, on this program, mm-hmm, or just to us, or in their camps when they're inviting mm-hmm, athletes coming from like 20 something states, about how this community, and really, you know, even groups like Delta, you know, in places like that, or companies like that, that have come together. So mm-hmm, whether it's $10, $100, or stroke a big check, you know, these programs need your support. And that's why, not only, you know, for our community to be aware that these programs exist and that what these great, you know, individuals are doing, but how they can get involved. I mean, there's a lot of, whether you're a business or an individual, and it's not just funds. I mean, there's other resources and other things that someone or a business can give or provide to your program. So, but yeah, I encourage people, if you feel compelled, even if you don't have an experience, because it doesn't necessarily take, you know, whether it be, because I was telling Rob in the green room, I said, from my lens, it's my child, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of listeners know about Austin, and you obviously talk about Austin, but that's my lens of looking at, you know, a child or individual that has a disability and can take that and use it into a positive opportunity for something like that. And so it doesn't necessarily take a life experience like that to get involved with a program like yours.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I think one of the misconceptions about our program is that we're part of the athletic department, so we have all the support and the funding that
good point,
that our able-bodied counterparts do. And we're not. We're not a part of the athletic department. We're a separate entity. We actually fall in the Office of Accessibility. So we roll up to the provost office. And while we do have great relationships with folks over in the athletic department, we don't have the same sort of funding that they do. So yeah, Tiger Giving Day is our biggest fundraiser that we do every year. We'll go do speaking engagements all over the city here, even down to Mobile, where we've got a pretty large group of fans down there. But yeah, Anthony's right. Any sort of support really helps our program and helps us get to different tournaments, helps us get to our national tournament, and really helps our student athletes out. So yeah, donations via the website or corporate sponsors, it's something that we're really looking to do this year. I'm a little behind the eight ball on that. I'll have to pick that up when I get back from, from my travel over to
the Olympics.
To
don't just come every year, right?
Yeah. But yeah, you know, we've been blessed from the support of the Auburn family. They've really helped us out when we've needed things. And you know, very blessed from that standpoint. And it's a community that supports Auburn. You know, the saying that Auburn people love Auburn, where mm-hmm, other schools just love their football team. You know, it's very true that mm-hmm, the Auburn family comes out and really supports us. But even going back to Anthony's story, the ability to have people come out to our games who may not know anything about wheelchair basketball or power soccer or wheelchair tennis and see it for the first time. It's almost like watching an Olympic sport that you see once every 4 years and yep, you want to see it more often. So, you know, we've got three home tournaments coming up this fall, one the end of October, one the second weekend of November, and then we've got a college tournament the weekend just before Christmas, which is always a great opportunity to bring families out to not just watch our games, but interact with our student athletes afterwards. All of our games are free of charge. They're played at the Beardies Memorial mm-hmm, Coliseum, the historic Beardies Memorial Coliseum. I like to throw that out there.
Absolutely. So,
hopefully that gives the building another couple years of existence.
I mean, that ages me, because that's where I was in college watching games.
The people you can list that have competed in that yeah, building, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
for sure. And we're just trying to add to that list. You know,
no, it is.
A little bit more of that
absolutely,
memory of the Coliseum. But yeah, October 25th and 26th, November 9th and 10th, and then December 20th and 21st, our home tournaments in the fall. And then in the spring, we'll have one the last weekend of January. I think it's the 24th and 25th.
AuburnAdapted.com is where you can find information. You can even donate there as well. As I talked about, some of the financial needs that they have. Big picture, I mean, you got Paris now. I mean, LA is on the horizon. So you got to already be looking at that. They're going to need funds for that, too. So keep that in mind as we're talking with Rob Taylor. And, of course, I've got Anthony and Wim. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Auburn Opelika This Morning, your news talk and information station.
News
Talk, WANI, Auburn Opelika's most listened to news talk station.
Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station. Wrapping things up with Anthony as we do Turtling Tuesday. Anthony's brought a guest in with him, Rob Taylor. We're talking Olympics, wheelchair basketball, adaptive sports, and adaptive athletics. What else do we need to get to, Anthony, before we get out of here and we visit with Joey a little bit?
I think it's just about talking about the adaptive athletics program at Auburn. Rob, you know, anything from – I love talking about, you know, as far as – I don't want to call them myths, but like what the – you know, I guess preconceived notions or what they people think they're going to see. But like you made, you know, the statement of we are not funded by Auburn Athletics, you know, those kind of things I think are really helpful to showcase or shed light on the program. Whether it's, you know, I had curious, how many student athletes do you have, you know, through the program?
Question. Yeah.
Yeah. So for basketball, we'll have 13 student athletes this year. Tennis has 7 student athletes and power soccer has 4 students.
Gotcha. Speak to, you know, the variety of whether it be, you know, the types of disabilities or, you know, who can and can't be involved, because obviously there's, you know, a lot of people, I think a lot of times when they hear about something, they're like, well, I don't know. There's a lot of things they have doubt, right? Mm-hmm. And then that doubt creates the ability not to move forward, not to reach out to Rob, not to say, you know, whether it's a student on campus or a mom or dad, you know, trying to help their student that's coming into Auburn University and saying, how can I make sure my student has the best experience on campus during those 4 to 5 to 6, or if you're like me, longer? You know, but speak to those kind of things, because I think a lot of people, you know, me being a parent that was a caregiver of a child that had, you know, 24/7 there was things that I put doubt in myself, but then was like, whether it would be Miracle League or different opportunities, was like, I did not know that because I didn't ask the right questions.
No, I think you hit it on there. I mean, parents don't know what they don't know.
Correct.
Right? And if you're dealing with a child that has a disability, maybe you shelter them a little bit because you don't want them to
protect
get hurt. But I think that's the great part is that I have people reach out to me all the time that want to know more about wheelchair basketball or, hey, what team is close to me or close to my child? In fact, I had someone call me yesterday who came to our summer camp 7 years ago, single leg amputee, came to our summer camp. We recruited him. He was like, no, I think I'm going to do track and field. Got into track and field, then kind of fizzled out of that. Became a firefighter, and an amputee firefighter, and he just called me the other day saying, hey, for health reasons, I can't be a firefighter anymore. I want to become a strength and conditioning coach. What steps do I need to take? And this was a kid that I talked to 6 years ago trying to recruit him to Auburn and just talked him through that. I've had other people call me up that said, hey, my kid's got cerebral palsy. What sports can he play? And I said, well, what sports does he love? Because he can play any sports that he wants. And it's just about trying to find where's the passion for not just the child, but for that individual, for the parent, and just helping them find out. With my position with U.S. Paralympics, I've got connections to just about every sport out there. I know the different coaches. I know different athletes that I can reach out to and say, hey, I've got this kid who lives in Richmond, Virginia, that's interested in bocce. Can you guys help me out? And we can connect them that way. I mean, Auburn's a small world. Adapted sports is a small world. So if someone listening has a friend, has a family member with a disability that they want to get involved in basketball or any sport, have them reach out to me. My information's all on the website, auburnadapted.com. Great way to get a hold of me. And I may be a little delayed in my response as I'm going to be
and
busy
also
here.
Might be a few hours, you know, for when it gets over to Paris.
Or I may respond to you and it's 2 a.m. your time.
Yeah, you never know.
It's 9 o'clock in Paris. But I'm always happy to help try to facilitate and just help get folks involved with adapted athletics. And even if you don't have a child with a disability and you want to get involved with adapted athletics, if you want to volunteer with one of our programs, if you want to help out on one of our game days, if you want to set the scores table and run the score clock for us,
there's
we definitely need that kind of help and support as well. So I don't think that we're just looking for financial support. We're also looking for game day operation support.
I love it. And I wanted to add one thing. When he was talking at the very first segment, the one word I took, and he just mentioned volunteer.
Yep.
It does not, you do not have to participate, compete. You know, obviously, yep. if you want to, and that's what you want to do, and that's what you're being drawn to do, yes, but there's so many other areas. I mean, talking to the athletic trainer, his name?
Camden.
Yeah. Just talking to him about his story and how he got into adapted athletics and how it changed him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many stories. I can tell them. I know Rob can tell a million more of them. but yeah, just encourage people to, A, spread the word.
Yep.
Even if you don't get involved, tell somebody else about it. The power of the mouth is super, especially if it's positive. But, you know, just get involved with Auburn Adaptive Athletics somehow.
AuburnAdaptive.com. You can also go to AOTourism.com, and then we'll have this interview up a little bit later on the website as well. Rob, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for
coming
in.
Thank you very much. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Anthony, see you soon, bud.
Yes, sir.
Auburn Opelika this morning, as we're going to talk to Joey next, and we will talk Opelika City Council and preview that for this evening.
Auburn Opelika's news talk and information station.
News Talk, WANI.